dog. I just had a terrible thought. We're going hard in the paint.
Hard in the
paint?
Yeah, we're going hard in the paint.
In the paint.
Yeah, you know how it is. When you're driving to the down the court, dodging your fellow black people, and you leap into the air and you put the rock. Yeah, in the what's the cool? I know basket
is
isn't
it called
the,
a rock.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I know basket isn't the cool thing to call it. The hoop.
That was like.
There's got to be a cooler thing to call it.
It's probably changed since we were kids.
In the swag hole. So you run past your fellow blacks and you take the rock and you jump toward the swag hole. And then you hang from the swag rim and the backboard, which I guess the crack board. I don't know. It shatters and glass rains down in slow motion. A buzzer sounds and the day is saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, you go hang out with Chamillionaire. What's that guy's name? I don't know. I'm getting old and white. Where's that 50 cent at? I just had a terrible thought, everybody. My name's Kyle.
And I'm Orion.
Orion. I ain't got shit tonight, except a bunch of news stories. It's been a crazy news week, apparently.
I'm in the same boat and thought I would... maybe experiment. I should have consulted you pre-show, but
I think we'll do the show in Portuguese tonight.
No, we haven't done in a while. It's been like, so what's up with you?
Yeah. Oh,
so and what's up with me?
The experiment
what's up with you?
Is to test the threshold for annoyance and boredom of the listeners. Okay, what's up with you, Orion?
This is why I should have consulted you, because it's all work-related, boring shit.
So, but it was your idea.
Okay, I'll kick it off. I can do this.
Okay. What cereal's on sale?
I yelled at a kid today, and he really is a kid. He's like 17, and he's fairly new at where I work, coworker, and I yelled at him today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm a nice guy.
You yelled at a
weird
boy?
Yeah. And, what happened was we have here in Michigan, a bottle return recycling station. You can bring back your bottles.
Because they have a deposit on them.
Yep. There's a deposit, 10 cents per bottle or can.
When you bring them back, you get your 10 cents back.
So we have a bottle kid, usually a kid, that maintains the bottle room, you know, the place. And he was in charge of that today, and he sucked at it. So here I am doing my job, doing my thing, and I'm getting calls from really angry, pissed off people. And that was like the first call. And then the ritual is you get a call, there's an issue, something's full, they're out of paper towel, you page the kid to his station. Well, I did this, and like 10 minutes go by, and I get a call again, and... it's like really loud, like people are getting like talking amongst themselves in this little room, which isn't that far away from where I'm at. And they're yelling, and this person's like, "You better get somebody down here, goddammit." And like, "We've been waiting for 10 minutes. Nobody ever swears. So what do I do? I've done all I can. I've paged this kid on the PA.
Well, isn't part of what you can do, it's not your job, it's not the bottle kid should do it, but isn't part of what you can do basically doing
his job?
Yeah,
but I don't like that, Kyle.
God,
then
damn hide
it.
Then go to an
then hide
far away aisle and hide.
Yeah, that's the problem with where I work, because like the help, the it's so scarce. I have maybe two coworkers a day. It's like me and two people and maybe a bottle guy, you know, and they don't show up till like 4 o'clock. I'm there at 1:00. I'm by myself. There's no one to hand the phone off to and go and hide. So I hang on to the fucking phone. I get every call. I have to take it as it might be someone else, you know? So what I did, I called my boss, and I'm like, what's up with this kid? Is he on break? And he's like, yeah, he's on break. And I'm like, and you didn't think to, like, call me back after I paged him 1,000 times? And I got really mad and hung up, and I'm like, after I said, you know what, I'll take care of it. So I go over there, I take care of it, and I go in the room, and I apologize to these people. And, you know, I settled them down. There were just, like, 50 people in this room waiting because one fucking machine was down that you feed glass bottles into. You know, you feed your cans and plastic shit into these machines over here, and you feed your glass bottles into the machines over here. But if if a machine goes down that everybody seems to need at that point, they get pissed. They don't want to be doing this in the first place, regardless of whether or not they have, like,
just a baggie full of cans. I got like 4 cans and I'm waiting here for 20 fucking minutes.
So this kid shows up. I'm in the back helping. After I went out and apologized, I went in the back and, like, tried to maintain everything else so I wouldn't get another fucking call. And he shows up and I'm like, what the fuck, dude? He's like, what? And I'm like, I just got yelled at, screamed at, sweared at. That was a lie, but. by these customers out there.
I didn't really get swore at, but I wanted him to feel bad.
Yeah. And Jesus. And
okay,
like,
yeah, go on.
What, do you go on break? And he's like, yeah, I was on break. And I'm like, and you left this shit for me. For anyone who had the phone, they have to take care of this shit. And the way I yelled at him wasn't very impressive. Because I'm afraid of using too much profanity. Because he might report me. I might get written up. Sat down in an office and talked to. I don't know. But so I yell at him. I feel great afterwards. I walk away and I'm like, yes. God, that felt good. But then the whole day I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm not going to tell him this. But the whole day he's like eyeballing me when we lock eyes or cross paths. And he wants to, like, come over and be like, dude, I'm totally sorry. I didn't mean to make you mad. I can see it in his face, but I wouldn't allow it today, Kyle. Fuck you today. Good morning. Whoa. Go fuck yourself today.
And now you know why we don't do that very often.
Yep. That was my day. That was my day and pretty much my week.
Woo!
What a tale.
Yeah.
You want to know what I've been up to, Orion? Let me tell you.
Christ.
Today, my boss came up to me with a drawing I had done, mm-hmm. and it was of some dimensional letters. Now, what dimensional letters are, people, is letters that are three-dimensional. They're thick. You know, you might hang them up, like, outside a business with the name of the business, and they come in various forms. You've got acrylic dimensional letters, you've got expanded PVC dimensional letters, you've got HDU dimensional letters, you've got stainless steel, aluminum, they can be vacuum formed, all kinds of things. Now, I had gotten an order or a drawing request, they call it, to do a drawing of some dimensional letters, and I have to put dimensions on them and stuff, like how long the string of letters is, how tall the letters are, what kind of material they are, what color they are. And this drawing request I got had specified that they were stainless steel and that they were a particular alloy. So I put that on the drawing. But then my boss, a few days later, which was today, came to me with that drawing in his hands and he said, you see this alloy thing here? Well, it turns out they actually do have that. That is a thing because we these are adjunct products. We order them from another company. We don't produce them in-house, these letters. So the company does have this alloy. But if you see something like this that we're not familiar with because it's not a typical thing that we order, then you should probably ask a question about it instead of just putting it on there. But I didn't design the thing. I just drew it. And so I was like, well, harumph, mister. Because I don't think it's my job to fact check this stuff when it's specified for me.
Good
I
for
think
you, Kyle.
I'm just supposed to draw what I'm told to draw. So why don't you just go be a mean Mr. Mustard someplace else?
Yeah.
But I really said all of that in my head.
Oh, no.
And it was a rough time.
So you ended up having to go fact check.
It really ruined my day.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have to do anything at that point because the drawing was actually fine. I only told this story because I thought it was really boring.
Okay. to my week, it was pretty exciting.
I
enjoyed it.
Any work story, for the most part, is pretty boring that from me. A few weeks ago, the big boss guy, the guy who owns the whole company, he had a birthday.
Yeah.
He was turning 80.
Jesus, I was going to say, he's still alive.
And they decided we should celebrate his birthday.
The whole company?
Yeah, we'll get everybody into the break room downstairs and he'll be there.
All production. Yep.
And they had a big, a huge card that we could all sign. And there were cupcakes for everybody. But they made us do it on our break. So during our non-paid time, we all had to go and stare at an old man that looks kind of like a wrinkly penis. With a toupee on top, mm-hmm. and it might be his own hair, but it does look like it doesn't belong there. And just kind of say happy birthday, guy that we never see because he's ancient and owns the company and isn't usually actually here. So there's another boring work story. Flinus is calling. Flinus, I don't want to hear about your PSP or scout camp.
Okay, I'll leave then.
Okay, goodbye.
Well done, Kyle. Good job.
I really just
I know
did
you
that.
Were thinking that in your head and you weren't going to execute.
He mentioned scout camp in the chat.
Yeah.
And his PSP. I figured it was one of those two things. Now I feel bad though.
Yeah, I know.
Cuz the scout camp thing could have even been a good story. What do I know? Probably better than our stories about work.
That's true. Yeah.
Let's see. Orion. Oh, did you see that in the forum that Heather is back?
Yes. Cloud Bubble.
Yeah. Heather, for anyone who doesn't know, was a listener for a while. She was a good friend of Marleykins, who, if you don't know, because it's been a while.
Been a long
time. Marleykins is a gal who used to be a super fan. She was listening since pretty much the beginning. She used to call into the voicemail line all the time when we did that more often. And one day she decided to divulge her religious beliefs kind of in the forum, and I told her they were crazy and she didn't like that, and I continued to tell her they were crazy, and she eventually decided I can't listen to the show anymore because you're too disrespectful, and now she is an enemy of the show. Mm-hmm. Although the last time I heard from her, she was still not listening, but she was kind of okay with us, but still thought I was mean.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. But so Heather, it was her friend, and they used to both listen. I think Marleykins introduced Heather. Heather bought my soul because a long time ago, I decided to sell my soul since I don't believe I have one. It was the greatest scam ever. I wrote up a little contract and transferring my immortal soul to another person, signed and dated it, and I sent her that.
And she paid for it, yeah.
And she disappeared quite a while ago, and I assumed that she wasn't going to come back because she's good friends with Marleykins, yeah. But she just popped into the forum yesterday or today and was like, hey, I've been kind of keeping up with you in iTunes, but I haven't been around the forums in forever, so I thought I'd pop back in. I wonder if she's still good friends with Marleykins and just doesn't care that Marleykins doesn't like me anymore.
Option one.
Or if she's no longer friends with Marleykins, if they had a falling out of some kind. Mm-hmm. If so, I want to hear the juicy drama.
Mm.
Or, I don't know, there's probably a third option. But, so that's interesting. Not really, but kind of
to me. It surprised me, yeah.
Not to new listeners.
Because, you know, friends, you know, they talk in person, if they're good friends in person, you know. And if she was upset, Marleykins...
You know, friends.
Then she'll be like, well, fuck them too. I don't like them either. And that's really why I thought she disappeared.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but she's back. So stay tuned.
Doesn't give a f-
I got nothing this week.
No.
I have a bunch of news stories. We could talk about news stories, right. But I hate doing that first thing right off the bat.
Yeah.
Although I guess this is sort of a news story. I don't have it pulled up or anything, but did you see that Miley? Oh man. The VMAs?
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear about it? Did you see it?
I didn't read or...
Holy moly, mother of any kind Jolie. Of
article judging her? No.
You didn't see the video?
I didn't even see it on my Facebook news feed, yeah. Which is surprising. Aldi was complaining. Like, everybody's talking about Miley Cyrus and the VMAs on my Facebook. Not me. I got the cool friends.
This was one of those things where I saw it for like being constantly talked about for a couple of days before I finally gave in and decided, okay, I want to at least know what you idiots are talking about. Yeah. my fucking nose. I don't get why anybody watches the VMAs. I don't understand award shows. I don't care who won what award. I don't care to watch Justin Timberlake moonwalk or whatever the fuck he does. I don't care to watch Miley Cyrus dance around, and I don't care who won what awards. And I feel the same way about the Oscars and the Emmys, the VMAs, the Grammys. Everybody likes to watch them like they're an event and they live tweet them and stuff. I don't get it. But so I kept hearing about this Miley thing and I looked it up on YouTube and it is horrendous. Would you like to see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen it.
You have seen it.
I have seen it, but okay. I'll see it again.
Well, no, we don't have to watch it again. So, Miley Cyrus did this big performance at the VMAs, and people were kind of like talking shit about it. And so at first I was confused because there were like two different kinds of people talking shit about it.
Yeah, because I don't know what was said. So
one kind of person was saying, Jesus, you guys, like... I mean, we all love it when pop stars like show their boobs and dress all scantily clad and act all sexy. Then Miley does it and you all freak out because those people seem to think that the reason people hated it was because she was being too sexy and we still think of her as a child star and somehow that grosses us out. That I don't think is the case because the other kind of people complaining were people who watched the thing and they were like, it would have been great if it was a hot girl dancing around sexy, dressed all sexy, but instead what it was Miley Cyrus, who is not that hot to begin with, dressed in this weird granny bathing suit thing, like kind of metallic and shiny, but not fitted to her at all. And these like flat Converse All-Star type shoes or something, and just kind of slamming her crotch around and sticking her tongue out.
Yeah,
it was,
lots of that.
It was really awkward and awful. And it went on for a long time. and there were big fat black women twerking like as background dancers.
I didn't even know what that was until Aldi told me.
Yeah, twerking.
She's like, check it out, they're doing it.
Twerking, for those who don't know, is when they kind of get down low and just bounce their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like if you do it right and you have enough ass, it gets to the point where like it's almost like a perpetual motion machine where like you get it jiggling and the bouncing of your ass almost keeps your body bouncing and keeps the whole thing going.
Takes over.
We need to harness that energy. But yeah, so that was a horrible thing that happened. But I don't understand why it's such a big deal because I feel like nobody should be watching the VMAs. I feel like that's a thing. They must have streamed it live online, but I feel like that's a thing. Like the VMAs, the Grammys, the Oscars, all that stuff is the kind of thing you get around the TV to watch. And I'm surprised that people still watch TV that way.
Yeah.
Like, let's all go hang out around the TV and watch the VMAs. Like, it's still an event for people. Like, back in 95, I would have gotten it. But now it's like, it's something I could never see again and be totally fine with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
And I will, anytime a pop singer got on stage and performed, because I was watching this, because TV for me is like, I want to get dumb. And I just want to not, like, I'll put anything on because I don't know what anything is because I don't keep up on it. I'll just pick a fucking channel and I'll watch it for a little bit and then I'm done, you know? and the VMAs were on. I know what VMAs are, so I checked it out, watched it, and did not enjoy myself, but I didn't get mad or anything, but I did, this thought entered my head, and it always has. Anytime there's a pop star singing a song and people are loving it and they win an award for it, it's not their, they didn't write that. They didn't do anything other than sing over a group, maybe, of people's project. A bunch of people put this together and you just sang over it and you're the glory, you know? And it's gross to me.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
I don't give a shit. I can't. I can try, but I can't give a shit.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a person performing a song written by someone else over a track written by someone else. You're still performing the song.
Yeah.
You still are the singer. You're still an integral part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I do think it's a little weird the way it's marketed. Like, the only thing you did was perform it. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else wrote it. Somebody else, several other people performed the music, the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that you get all the credit, but it's kind of like, it's a non-issue. I don't get worked up about it or anything.
I know the people that wrote the shit get paid.
I just
and
don't.
And they know what they're in for. They're not like, oh, what the fuck?
I think
no credit to me.
I guess it's just smart marketing. Cause like if it was probably some like weird dude that, you know,
probably
unmarketable session musicians and some weird old dude at a mixing board or whatever. Yep. And they're not marketable. But like, I feel the same way about movies and TV shows and stuff. Like, for some reason, the director and sometimes like the executive producer, but the director, like, from the mind of Michael Bay comes, but it wasn't from the mind of Michael Bay or whoever the director is.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg presents.
He didn't create it all.
Didn't do anything except be there and kind of like sort of told everybody what to do, but he didn't write it. He didn't act in it.
It's an important aspect of the filmmaking process, but it's not the whole.
I feel like writers should get higher billing than directors.
Yeah.
Or at least equal billing, but a lot of times you don't even have any idea who wrote the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really strange to me. Like, movies, for the most part, are a storytelling medium, and nobody gives a shit who wrote the story. It's really strange. But I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see a movie and see the director credit and go, oh, motherfucker, turn it off. I'm out of here. Fuck you. And it's funny, like with TV shows, it's even funnier because they have episodes. And a lot of times, like somebody will be billed as the show creator.
Yeah.
Not even the director or anything. They like wrote the pilot episode and they were involved in casting and stuff. And then they just backed the fuck up.
But they're still,
and they just let it go. Like they did the pilot, and then after that, they had other people direct it. They had other people write it. They casting from then on was done by someone else, but they came up with the overall concept. So they do deserve a bunch of credit. But it's funny because from then on, they had like nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
but
all credit finds its way back to them somehow. Ugh, it's gross to me. And I've seen, I don't know if they do this now, I really don't think they do, but back in the day during award shows, they'd have awards for writers and whatnot. They just don't air them because no one would care.
I think they still do that. They, depending on what it is, they will air some of those, like best screenplay or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they still do at most of those award shows have like other awards that weren't part of the show.
Yeah. Of the show, cameras on film,
which is kind of weird.
Yeah,
like best boy
under the table,
best key grip.
Here you go, you won.
Yay! Yeah, you get like a shitty little plaque instead of the actual award, or you get like a faxed picture of an award.
Mm-hmm.
What do producers actually do?
I don't know.
It's such a strange like name. It means. It seems to me like it's a title that could mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like
very general. Yeah.
Like you were there and you decided what color the wallpaper on the set should be.
Yeah.
You're the producer.
Mm-hmm.
You had a few notes for the script. You're the producer.
Yeah. And big name actors will be in the news, celebrity news, like, oh, Ben Affleck is producing now. Wow. Well, what does that mean?
It's like,
what is he doing?
Sometimes you'll see like a project that has like this long list of producers, like, there's the executive producer, and then there's like five other producers.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems to me like it's a title that they just use whenever somebody had some kind of creative input on the project, yeah. but they don't know what to call it. Like, yeah. it wasn't really the property master. I mean, he built a prop, but it was only the one.
Yeah.
Or he wasn't really a set designer, but he did kind of come up with this one set. Or he did scout this one. Like, there's some thing that they did that's just kind of weird and one-off-y, and they're just like, he's a producer.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what producers actually do? Producers give money and do marketing, I think, says Bames. Yeah, that's if that's what it is. If that's the actual like technical definition of a producer, I don't think it is. But if that's actually the definition of a producer, yeah, it's totally crazy that they get the kind of credit that they do. Oh, I financed it, and then I talked about it a lot. I told people that it existed.
My first theory was, you know, I looked at a music producer. A band will
get a producer
on board, and they will hear their ideas and what they're playing and be like, hey, take that, put it here, and they'll orchestrate everything, kind of help them along to making a final product.
I feel like...
So in the movie business, do they, like, you guys did great work, writers. You did great work, set designers, director. You will do your thing, but hold on. I'm just going to give my peace of mind here and just give my little flavor here and get credited. That was my theory.
I think music producers get involved in the mixing process a fair amount of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't believe I forgot that.
I think that's like another... I think producer is just this weird nebulous term. Like, yeah. I worked on it. Well, what did you do? Yeah, this and that. Okay, you're a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Bames is looking up things that producers do. They essentially just supervise the project. So they're like a hands-off director.
Got it.
Like, they just kind of sit there in that foldy chair.
Yep. And they get occasionally, a chair.
Occasionally they go, could you turn that light?
just a little.
Just a little. Just a hair to this. And you're off your mark.
Yeah.
Thanks, producer.
What would we do without you?
Do they still do that foldy chair thing? That's a funny tradition.
I think they do.
And it says like director or producer on the back of the foldy chair. You would think. I feel like if they do still do that, it's purely out of tradition. Because you don't need to have a special chair. And B, you would think they would have upgraded special chairs by now. I wonder what company you go to get like producer's chairs, director's chairs. The shitty chair company.
Yeah.
So Miley Cyrus is a big, fat, stupid bitch. And she's the worst. You want to hear some news stories?
Yes.
Okay, here's one. These are in no particular order. Dunkin' Donuts under fire for racist ad in Thailand. Issues apology. Now, there's a picture with this. I don't have it downloaded, so I'm going to put the link in the chat, and I'm going to turn the monitor and show you. So, this is the picture. God. I haven't read the article yet, but the picture is a woman painted all black except for her lips, which are bright pink, and it says she's holding a donut, and it says charcoal donut.
Yummy.
Delish. Okay, so Dunkin' Donuts apologized on behalf of its Thailand franchisee on Friday for an ad campaign that's being called racist for its image of a woman in blackface. Human Rights Watch... Oh, fuck. Human Rights Watch.
Here they come.
Denounced the ad for the new charcoal donut on Friday, calling for American company Dunkin' Donuts to pull the campaign. I love that I get it. But it's funny to me that the blackface is the story here and not the existence of a charcoal donut.
Yeah. What is this donut?
It can't be charcoal flavored, right? It's got to be like a super dark chocolate and it's black. And they were like, what else is black? Charcoal? We're Asian. We don't understand things. Painting someone with blackface to sell a chocolate donut is racist. How do you take yourself seriously after uttering that sentence? Phil Robertson, Thailand-based deputy director of the Human Rights Watch's Asia division, told Yahoo Shine. Painting someone with blackface to sell a chocolate donut is racist.
And he sleeps better at night. knowing you said that.
This is unfortunate, and Dunkin' Donuts should take action and drop this ad. They should also show some degree of atonement and make sure it doesn't happen again. They should have the local president or whatever of Dunkin' Donuts go out into the street and cane himself. Dunkin' Donuts, which is based in Massachusetts, apologized for the ad on Friday through spokesperson Karen Raskoff. Dunkin' Donuts recognizes the insensitivity of this spot, and on behalf of our Thailand franchisee and our company, we apologize for any offense it caused, read the statement released to Yahoo Shine. We are working with our franchisee to immediately pull the television spot and to change the campaign. Meanwhile, the CEO of the Dunkin' Donuts franchise group in Thailand, Nadeem Saihani, earlier shrugged off the criticism as paranoid American thinking.
There we go, because if someone else is responsible in the country, why the fuck are the American headquarters apologizing on behalf? That's so fucking hollow.
To be fair,
you don't mean it.
The reason, there are two reasons they're apologizing. One is because people are uppity and stupid and they need to do this as a marketing thing. But the other is that if this were an actual if this were an ad in which actual babies were murdered and turned into baby donuts and so it was a real human rights violation, Dunkin' Donuts headquarters would need to come out against that, because they, if they had an eye on things in their Thailand branch, it never would have happened.
That's true.
So it's kind of a slip on their part, but it's not really a slip on their part because there are cultural differences here.
Exactly.
Japan is a huge fan of blackface and they do not get it. I know this is Thailand, but I imagine it's similar. They just don't get it because, why would they?
Yeah.
They're not...
It'd just be more interesting if they don't
have the cultural minstrel tradition thing.
If, they found the guy directly responsible, he came up with, the sketches, the idea, and maybe get the guy involved that said, oh, I love it, print it, let's do this. And the creative director, I think they call them. Find that guy via local news. They run up to him while he's slurping on some noodles. I don't know.
Sure.
And be like, what do you have to say? What was going through your head? There you go. You don't hear from the higher ups. That's
They did.
It's so empty and non-entertaining. Doesn't satisfy me.
I don't know about the creative director, but they did go to Nadeem Saihani, the CEO of Dunkin' Donuts in Thailand. They did go to him first. That's why they said he earlier shrugged off the criticism as paranoid American thinking, calling it absolutely ridiculous. It was only after he did that Dunkin' Donuts headquarters was like, actually, no, we... We don't like racism, and it's very racist, and we're so sorry. So we barely even know that guy. We turn our backs for 5 minutes, and he just starts racisming it up. But he's right. He says it's paranoid American thinking, and he called it absolutely ridiculous.
There you go.
And he's right. I doubt this was meant to even evoke black people at all. Africans.
This was sought out. Yeah,
I think it was just meant to match the donut.
Yeah,
I don't even think it was a race thing. They don't have. I don't think there was a tradition of black slavery and then minstrel shows in Thailand. So they don't have this cultural baggage. They see this person painted up this way and they go, oh, look at that. She's the same color as the donut. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So that's why it's paranoid American. He's absolutely right. It is just paranoid American thinking. And it's weird that, it's worse, I guess, that America decides to be the world police sometimes and goes around, actually invades countries and shit. And sometimes kind of under false pretenses. But it's also really fucking weird to me that we want to be the moral, that we judge everything by our own standards. Because blackface is absolutely harmless. Period.
Yeah.
It's offensive to people, and there's a reason it's offensive to people, but it's not offensive because it is inherently offensive. It's offensive because of the context. These people don't have it, but we choose to go, we do, and I did see it or hear about it, and therefore you are a big fat racist.
I wonder if people were mad here in America or somewhere elsewhere first, or if the organizations sought this out and jumped on it for publicity.
Say that again.
I wonder if like people got mad, and then this organization that, what was it called? The Human Rights Organization? I don't know.
Human Rights Watch.
Yeah. And they were like, whoa, okay, people are mad. Let's regulate the situation, back them up, understand why they're mad, and go from there. Or, you know, nobody got mad. Or if they just jumped on this and said, whoa, this is terrible.
I doubt that the...
And they wanted to be some hero in the media.
I doubt that the people of Thailand got upset about it. Like, they were calling up their the local branch of Dunkin' Donuts and saying, what the fuck is up with this ad? This is crazy and racist.
Mailing them.
And I think it's telling. I don't know. There's no picture of this guy. I don't know anything about his background. But the guy who runs the Human Rights Watch in Thailand, who's speaking out against this, he's denouncing the ad.
So it is in Thailand, okay. The organization. Yeah.
Speaking out. I think it's like a worldwide organization, but he's like... the head of the Thailand branch or whatever. But his name is Phil Robertson. So I don't think he's a native Thailander.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's bringing a bunch of his own bullshit baggage on board with this. Robertson noted that in Thailand and throughout much of Asia, there is a palpable sense of racism and an unfortunate lack of consciousness of what these racist images mean. Let me put that another way for you, Phil. There is a palpable sense of not understanding why I'm so upset about this. That's what it is. He's upset about it, and the Thailanders are going, what?
Yes.
And that makes him more upset. He's like, they're so racist, and they don't get it.
The whole country.
They don't get it. Oh, my God. One of my black friends came to visit. And we went out to eat, and someone actually offered him some fried chicken. I could not believe it. My jaw dropped to the floor. I wet myself. I just could not fucking believe it. The audacity. They don't get it because they don't get it, man. Mm-hmm. He said the Dunkin' Donuts ad was not particularly out of context, considering that Thailand sells products like the Black Man Mop, which uses blackface images in its marketing, and Darlie, formerly Darkie toothpaste, which has a Sambo-like image on its packaging. Again, I mean, I get it, but I don't get it because they don't get it. Like this, it's like what I was saying about Japan. Japan knows about black people. And they have a very small amount of them hanging around the country in various corners. And a lot of the black people in Japan are like weird, shady Africans straight from Africa who hang out in like the red light district kind of areas. So they probably are a little cautious of blacks, like a little racist, because most of them who end up there are kind of shady drug dealer-y kind of guys. But I don't think that they like hate black people, and they don't know why you don't like it when you paint somebody's face black and leave their lips big and red. And it's like if you were shown a picture of a white person and a picture of a black person and you were told to draw caricatures of them and you had zero context, like you'd never even heard of white or black people before. You probably would draw the black person caricature with a bigger, like wider, flatter nose and bigger lips, and their skin would be dark and maybe their lips would be brighter and they would probably look kind of racist.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
And that's what the Japanese do when they do black people. They like draw like crazy caricatures, but we can't do that because we used to do that to be like dicks.
And have never gotten over it.
They don't do it for the same reason. They don't draw like a big hulking black man with big lips and like jet black skin because they're like, man, black people are the worst.
Can they just go away? We are Japan.
They don't do it for the same reason. And I don't think the people from Thailand do either. And even if they are racist, this isn't necessarily... I don't think that this was like, this donut tastes like black... Like, what would be the point? This donut tastes just like black people.
I don't get the connection, even if that was the intent. if they interviewed them and they were like, yeah, we hate blacks, we think blackface is hilarious, even then, I wouldn't get the connection between the charcoal donut and the blackface. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just really strange to me. Like, the trying to figure out, like, if you think it's racist, trying to figure out what the motivation behind it was is really strange to me. Like imagine you're working some foreign branch of a Taco Bell and you're trying to brainstorm ads, and there's a very strong anti-Jewish sentiment in your country, and you decide, you know what we should do is give a guy a big prosthetic nose and some curls and make him really love our tacos.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put that out, and people will be like, well, if that scum of the earth likes our tacos, then God damn it, I'm on board. I don't understand what they think the point of it is. I mean, I could get it if it was like a Speedy Gonzalez-esque caricature that like was a lovable racist stereotype that like did things.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a photo of a person painted black. This isn't like a mascot, like our new mascot, Blackie, who gets up into all kinds of shenanigans because she's kind of dumb, but loves donuts.
Yeah.
Oh, that piece of shit. She is a rascal. It's just a woman painted black.
Yeah.
Get over it.
And that's another aspect I don't get is like, if that was the connection you're supposed to get, like, look at this thing we hate and everybody hates. Look at it and they love it. Why would you care? Meaning, like, you go to a country and they all hate blacks. And you put this out and they're showing, hey, even blacks like it. I'd be like, but what's the connection? I don't get it. The thing I hate loves this thing. Why should I? I don't get it.
BAME says in the chat, later on, they say there's a sense of racism in Thailand and they don't seem to understand what these racist images mean. And then BAME says, pretty sure that means there's no racism behind it, you guys. Yeah, exactly. They don't seem to fucking get why I'm so upset. They're so racist.
Oh, Phil.
So weird. Like, even the KKK gets it. Like, when you get really upset because the KKK is like, yeah, burn all the niggers, they get why you're upset. They just disagree with you.
Yeah.
You're like, no, black people are fucking people. They're just the same as us, but they look a little bit different, and they deserve all the same rights as us. And the KKK is like, yeah, I get it, but you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're niggers. They're the worst. They're ruining America. Fucking Obongo. We need to get him out of office. You know, but they get it. If you don't get it, it's not racist.
I know.
Okay. Well, that's the Dunkin' Donuts thing. I don't know. That's probably about all I can get out of that. It's stupid. How about another news story?
Yeah.
Man stole father's body from Detroit cemetery to bring him back to life.
Oh, God.
Vincent Bright.
In Michigan. Only in Michigan.
No, not only in Michigan. Vincent Bright took corpse of 93-year-old father and stored it in home freezer in hope that he would be resurrected. A man accused of stealing his father's body from a Detroit cemetery with the hope of bringing him back to life has pleaded guilty. Ah, there's that pleaded thing again. Has pleaded guilty in exchange for avoiding prison. Vincent Bright, 49, stole the body of 93-year-old Clarence Bright from Gethsemane Cemetery on 14 January and stored it in a home freezer. Police, acting on a tip from other family members, found the corpse in Bright's home on Detroit's east side. Police said Bright took the body in the hope that his father would be resurrected. Bright pleaded guilty on Monday to a charge of disinterring a body and faces sentencing on 24th September. He seems to be doing well, his defense lawyer. He seems to be doing well, his defense lawyer Gerald Carafa told the Associated Press on Tuesday. A conviction on the charge of disinterring the body could have brought up to 10 years in prison. Prosecutors sought a mental health examination for Bright, which found he was competent to stand trial. I thought there was going to be some more like about why he did this, why he thought the guy would be... No.
What his vision was.
Completely immaterial to us as news people. We just... This guy dug up a body and Man, we should report on that because it's news. Well, mm-hmm. why'd he dig up the body? It's something about he wanted to resurrect it. I don't know. Not important. He dug up a body. No,
he dug up a body.
That's what I want to know about. What? How did he think? I stuck him in the freezer, and I think I was confused. See, I remember this thing that I heard once about, like, you can freeze a bee, and then if you thaw it back out, it'll come back to life. I think I forgot that, like, you got to freeze a live bee. And so I put my dad in the freezer because I thought, like, when I thaw him back out, he'll come back to life. But he was dead before. I should have known. What was he thinking? That's what I want to know. Fuck you, news story.
I wonder, yeah. Or if he was thinking, you know, with all the technology today and what's to come, I don't want the worms to eat him. I'll dig him up. Freeze them, yeah, and maybe something will come along and they can reanimate.
Maybe this was his, like, ghetto cryogenics. Like, he thought, I'll freeze my dad, and then years from now, maybe I can get him brought back to life. Yeah. Technologically.
Freeze him at 31 degrees.
You would think they would mention Fahrenheit. This stuff, but nope, they didn't even care. They were just like, no, he dug up a body. That's all that matters. On to the next news story, then. Woman hospitalized to remove stolen $5,000 from rectum. Now, the very first thing I thought when I saw this was that she's doing it wrong. Because I've mentioned before, I think, that if I had a vagina, I would use that for storage. I would put things in my vagina all the time. You got a vagina and you're putting it in your butt? You're putting $5,000 in your butt? Now, to be fair, maybe she had other stuff in her vagina.
They usually do.
She ran out of room. She's got her phone in there and her keys. And she's got one of those, like, Galaxy phones. They're huge. Mm-hmm. And her keys are in there and her makeup. And, like, she's got one tampon that's, like, actively working. But then she's got a few spares still in the wrappers shoved up there as well. so maybe it was all full up and she needed the extra room. Let's see. Bull's Gap. That's where this took place, apparently, was in Bull's Gap, which is a hilarious made-up place. A theft charge is pending against a Hawkins County woman who allegedly stole $5,000 from her boyfriend and was then hospitalized for injuries suffered attempting to remove the cash from her hiding place. Around 1 a.m. Tuesday, the Hawkins County Sheriff's Office was dispatched to the home of Bobby Gully, 249 North Ridge Road. That's it's funny to me when they do that, when they give the address.
Wow.
Like, what are you doing? Why why would we need to know that? It seems like good can come of us knowing that.
Yeah.
Bull 249 North Ridge Road, Bull's Gap, on a complaint that his girlfriend was stealing from him. Gully told HCSO Sergeant Michael Allen he'd set a trap for Christy Black, 43, also of that address, by placing two envelopes containing $4,000 and $1,000 in $100 bills in an old medicine bag. The medicine bag was then placed on a foosball table, and Gully went to bed. this is an elaborate game of mousetrap he's playing. He then stuck the cheese on the end of a string and he set the trap. Okay.
The dinner table. The foosball table.
Gully said that when he woke up, he noticed Black was still awake and cowering under a laundry basket that had fallen on her head. That's just more mousetrap stuff. No, that didn't happen. But when he woke up, he noticed Black was still awake, but the medicine bag and cash were missing because they were both up her ass. when Gully confronted Black with the theft, Black reportedly vomited up a baggie containing partially dissolved pills.
Jesus.
What a wacky fucking adventure this is. So, okay. I haven't gotten through the story yet. The headline is she was hospitalized to remove stolen $5,000 from rectum. So far the story is her boyfriend was like, this bitch is always stealing from me. I'm going to catch her in the act.
Mm-hmm.
So he got a medicine bag. Which I don't even know what that means. It's like
where would you find that?
Like the little shitty paper bags you get from the pharmacist? Or what's a medicine bag?
Yeah.
I don't even know. So he gets a medicine bag. He gets $5,000. He splits it up into two envelopes for no apparent reason. Puts $4,000 in one envelope, $1,000 in the other envelope, all in $100 bills. Where'd he get all this money? And why is he willing to part with it to catch this bitch? Don't know. puts it in the medicine bag, puts that on the foosball table, wakes up the next day. The medicine bag is missing. He asks her about it, and she pukes up pills in a baggie.
What? Who is this bitch?
He then asked her where the money was. Yeah, okay, so, do you happen to see that medicine bag around? Hold on a second. Sorry, just my spare pills. Anyway, what were you saying? Just completely, like, glossed over that. Yeah, then she puked up some pills in a bag. I don't know. It was weird. So then I asked her about the money again.
This must not be weird for him. Like,
yeah,
the second week they're dating, and she comes home, and she's hanging out at his place, practically moved in, and she's like, you okay? Oh, hold on. And it's like the salt shaker from the restaurant they ate at. And she's compulsive. She has to steal shit and shove it in her body. And yeah. He's like, I'm cool with that. Whatever.
It's you fine. Know? Just don't shove my stuff in your body. Yeah. Okay. Like,
he must know. This is going to go somewhere.
He then asked her where the money was. And she admitted to him she'd wrapped it up and stuck it in her rectum. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Let's say, like, you see this money sitting there. And you are like, I could really use that money. But where am I going to hide it? I guess I'll shove it in my ass. So you shove it in your ass, and then you get confronted about it, and you have to, like, I don't think I would ever admit it. Like, you could accuse me all day, and I would get to the point where I would just stop talking, like, stop responding. But I don't think I would ever say, well, I put it in my ass.
Yeah, never.
But that's apparently what happened. He's like, where's that money? I left this money on the foosball table. You're the only one here, and it's gone now. Yeah, I put it in my butt. Alan stated, Black admitted to Alan to taking the money and medication because Mr. Gully was going to kick her out and she needed money for a place to live. So was there medicine in the medicine bag? That's where the pills came from, I guess?
There must be, yeah.
So it just gets weirder and weirder. So she opens up the bag. She's like, what are these envelopes? Well, first, let me grab these pills. Okay. These I'm going to swallow.
I have no pockets. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. What's in these envelopes? Holy shit. $4,000? Holy shit. Another $1,000? I guess I'll swallow these. Oh, no. I don't think I can fit both of these and those pills in my stomach. I guess I'll go for the other side. Just. Alan. Oh, wait. She admitted to taking the money and medication because he was going to kick her out and she needed money for a place to live. Alan said Black attempted to remove the cash with a toilet brush and tongs, but was unsuccessful.
God!
Tongs, I kind of get. Although, if you can get tongs in your ass, you got a loose ass. But then again, if you can shove two envelopes full of money up your ass, you got a loose ass too. But the toilet brush, maybe that's just like a shoehorn. Like, you shove the toilet brush up in there and kind of pry it open with the toilet brush so you can get the tongs in. At first, when I read toilet brush, I was picturing the wrong thing, and I was imagining a plunger and <they're>, like plunging her asshole to get the money back out. She was bleeding severely and was transported to the Hawkins County Memorial Hospital emergency room. Alan said the wad of money was removed and collected as evidence. An arrest warrant has been issued for Black, charging her with theft over $1,000. But as of Thursday afternoon, the warrant hadn't been served because she is still hospitalized. As of Thursday afternoon, she remained listed in fair condition at Holston Valley Medical Center. Well, I'm glad to know she's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
What a fucking nutty story. Oh, man.
She had to have been one that had to hide things. She's a compulsive.
It seems like it must. Like, cat this thief. This isn't like normal thievery.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to steal this. Just leave with it.
Yeah. Pockets, handbag, anything. And it's so easy.
And you don't put, like, if you just want to steal something, you don't shove it in your body. It's like a compulsion. Like, she can't help it.
Was this her upbringing? Like, her mother was like, when you really want to hide stuff.
Mama used to take me to the mall, and she'd say,
oh God,
she'd say, like, sweetie, we're going on a shopping spree. You can have anything that you can fit in your body. So we'd go to Claire's. I'd be shoving studs in my nostrils.
Yep.
I'd be snorting jewelry. I'd be shoving dresses up my cooch. Oh, those were the days.
Yeah.
God damn this woman.
Oh, man. One time we went to Spencer's Gifts, and I shoved a whole Backstreet Boys poster up my vagina. Oh, that was a good day. Next news story?
Yeah, that was a good one.
I'm quickly running through them. Black Jesus murder. Leader of 6,000-strong cannibal rape cult hacked to death by villagers in Papua New Guinea jungle after killing yet again. That's like a Mad Libs of horrible shit.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Stephen Terry called himself the true Christ and had previously been accused of raping, murdering, and eating young girls. Just like
sign me up.
just like the son
sounds
of God.
Sounds legit.
The leader of a vicious cannibal rape cult. Like, that's even a thing in 2013
Who do you propose that to? And they're like, yeah. All right, I'll hear you out.
What are you? Whenever I hear about crazy cults, and they're usually not cannibal rape cults, like, a cannibal rape cult makes most cults seem kind of sane. Yeah. Like,
they're like, whoa.
Yeah, we're all going to drink the poison Kool-Aid and kill ourselves and wear the exact same tennis shoes on Friday. But, but I mean, we don't rape and eat each other. Yeah. We're not insane. Yeah, a cannibal, the fact that a cannibal rape cult can exist in 2013 is hilarious. And whenever I think of cults, like, I can't understand. I know that there's like a psychological thing with like mob mentality, and there are various like things that seem kind of counterintuitive, and that you can like people can get used to anything or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I just cannot, I really don't think that there is any situation you could put me in where I would be like, yeah, I want to join that cannibal rape cult.
What are the incentives? Oh,
the only thing I can think of is if it was like, you are joining this cannibal rape cult, or you are getting cannibal raped. That's yeah. all I can think of.
It's not like free rent, free housing.
But I'm not sure
housing,
that would be better. Most
free
of,
food.
Most of the time I say like suicide is a horrible thing and you're just an idiot, because there's always the possibility of things getting better as long as you're alive. But if you kill yourself, then it's just all over.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like such a waste and kind of stupid. But if my options were die or join the cannibal rape cult and have to go around raping and eating people, I'm not so sure. Like, they both seem like really horrible options. I'm not sure I could go through with being in a cannibal rape cult. But apparently, at least 6,000 people were like, yeah, I mean, I'm not doing anything.
God damn.
I mean, it's hot as shit out here.
God.
And I am bored and horny
mm-hmm.
and hungry. I mean, you got everything I need. So, okay. God. The leader of a vicious cannibal rape cult has been hacked to death in the jungles of Papua New Guinea after he escaped from prison and murdered a local woman. That was the last straw. You know, it was cute at first, but that last woman, like, one woman too many. And by the way, when we lock you up, we mean it, okay? It's one thing to roam the countryside murdering, eating, and raping people. But I mean, don't break out of prison, you fuck. Preacher Stephen Terry, whose 6,000-strong sect called him the true Christ and referred to themselves as flower girls or disciples, had been serving a lengthy jail term after being convicted of a brutal rape 3 years ago. The 40-year-old, who had previously been accused of raping, murdering, and eating three girls in front of their traumatized mothers, he likes to make a show of it.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Was one of 48 prisoners to break out of a remote jungle prison 6 months ago. The concept of a remote jungle prison just sounds doomed to fail to me. Like, it sounds like the beginning of like a new Contra game. Like, mm-hmm. I just busted out of the remote jungle prison and there are aliens everywhere. The charismatic cult leader, who wore white robes and is said to have regularly drunk the blood of his flower girls, quickly returned to his home village of Gaul after the escape, but could only manage 6 months before killing yet again. Can you imagine him just kind of, he's just hanging out in his
robes.
Yeah, and he's like twitching. He's like kind of shaky.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I shouldn't have tried to go cold turkey. Can I just kill like one girl and eat her? Like just one. Like a little one. Like
nobody will even notice or care.
I'll eat a retard. Like that's gotta only count for like half.
I'll eat a retard.
After killing one woman and attempting to murder another, the inhabitants of the village, which is in Madang province, are said to have finally snapped.
It was the last straw.
He killed one woman and they were like, all right. And then he tried to kill the second one and they were like, what are you doing? Don't get greedy. You fucking glutton. You just ate. They finally snapped, surrounding Tari and one of his henchmen and hacking the pair to death. It has not yet been established if the murdered woman was killed as part of a blood sacrifice or just because he was in the mood for a snack. But it is considered likely, as Terry was said to have been attempting to resurrect his cult following the spell in prison. That's kind of funny to me, too. Like, if you are the leader of a cannibal rape cult, you have 6,000 members, and you go to jail, and they're left to do their own thing, and they're like, do we keep cannibal raping?
Yes.
Like, it just doesn't feel the same without Terry around. Mm-hmm. And then, so they kind of disband and like go like get jobs at Walmart or whatever. I don't know. And then he gets out of jail. Like, could you imagine? You're the leader of a cannibal rape cult. You get out of jail and you like, you go like trying to get the gang back together. And they're like, yeah, I mean, I was into the whole cannibal rape thing, you know, a couple of years ago, but I got kids now, you know, I'm settling down. I got an office job. I really don't know if I have the cannibal rape thing in me anymore. Good times though. Like if you ever just want to talk, like reminisce about the old days, I'm open to, I just don't think I can do it anymore though, man. I'm out. My wife would kill me. Let's see. Speaking to Papua New Guinea's Post-Courier newspaper, local police commander Chief Superintendent Sylvester Kalout said Gaul was an incredibly remote village, at least a four-hour walk from the nearest town, and accessible only by miles upon miles of treacherous jungle tracks. He added that the isolated environment was hampering the murder investigations and that an official cause of death for both Terry and the unnamed woman was yet to be established. Superintendent Kalout went on to say that any of Terry's followers who remain on the run should give themselves up immediately. Yeah, of course. If they don't want to suffer the same fate as villagers are intent on wiping out all links to the cannibal cult. Terry, or Black Jesus, as he often called himself, rose to international notoriety after his lectures from a rock in a jungle clearing began to attract thousands. How does that even work?
How does that work?
Where,
6,000.
What are these thousands of people doing? There's this tiny remote village in the middle of the jungle.
That must be the key.
Pain in the ass to even get to. He went into a clearing in the jungle, stood on a rock, started preaching. And what were these people like, just hunting for coconuts? And they just heard this guy talking. They're like, oh,
yep.
See what's going on over here. And then they liked what he was saying. They were like, you know, I've been thinking about cannibal rape forever, and none of my friends are into it. I always bring it up. Like, what do you guys want to do tonight? I don't know, man. I was thinking the VMAs are on. We could go watch the... Nah, I don't know, man. How about we cannibal rape? And all my friends were always like, come on, with the cannibal rape thing again. You always bring this up. How many times do we have to tell you we're not into cannibal rape? Finally, I meet this guy, and it's like we're kindred spirits.
God damn.
I don't know how this works. He quickly fell out of favor with those who refused to worship him as a resurrected Jesus after he began luring flower girls into his hut, where he would allegedly kill them by cutting their throats. He is said to have later drunk the girls' blood in front of their grieving mothers. How do you set that up?
Yeah.
You lure them into your hut, slit their throats, drink their blood, and then... you slit their throats, then you... like carry them to their mom's house. Mm-hmm. You're like, check this out. You jab a straw in her throat like a Capri Sun. What do you think of that, Mom?
That's, I don't know what to say. That's really like fucking crazy.
With the police unable to capture him due to his barely accessible power base and the sheer numbers of followers willing to hide him from the authorities, it was left to Gaul's inhabitants to track Terry down. In 2007, angry locals were able to capture Terry, tying him to logs and beating him before eventually handing him over to police. That incident led to Terry's conviction and imprisonment on rape charges. I'm surprised they didn't hack him apart the first time.
Like these, no!
These guys are really into due process, I think. Like, you know what? Innocent until proven guilty.
Yes! Jesus!
Oh, man. Ah, that's the whole article. Hey, wow.
Put you in a cell. We'll feed you. You know, you'll get what you deserve.
No.
Oh, man. Wow, they didn't have much to say about this one in the chat. Those goddamn thieving necromancers. That was about the guy stealing his dad's body.
At first, I thought this guy was a genius because, one, he recruited so many thousands of people with this crazy belief. And on top of that, he broke out of a prison. Like, this guy is pretty intelligent. He's manipulative, intelligent that way. He can break out of a prison. Oh my God, look out. But then when you mentioned it's in like a very remote jungle town, then yeah. Part of me was like, well, figures.
They get up to that shit anyway.
I don't know why.
They don't need Black Jesus to tell them to eat and rape people. They would just do that. okay. That was my last news story. I got a little bit of other stuff, but maybe we should take a little break.
Sounds good.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. We're going to take a break and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and break.
Hello. Have you ever found yourself saying, I have too much money? How is a gentleman supposed to appreciate the finer things in life with all of this unnecessary clutter getting in the way? Well, fear not, friends, for I have found the solution. I just had a terrible thought. You see, there's this thing among the proletariat called debt. It eats money, and they have lots of it. Send your extraneous cash to the boys at Itch Hat and they will make it disappear. Just click the donate button on the main page at ijusthadaterriblethought.com. I just had a terrible thought, the only monetary sinkhole on the internet.
Yo, we're back from the break. Ryan.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice pee?
I did. Yeah.
I ripped one in the bathroom. Was it still lingering?
No.
Good. Good. I'm glad because it was a little ripe at the time. Ryan, guess what? Emails! We got a couple of emails.
Yay.
From Teen Sarah, the ghost who lives in the teacup.
Mm-hmm.
She says, Dear Kyle, hey, I was listening to your old episodes. Wait.
Dear Kyle, hey, I was listening to your old episodes from the start because I thought it was about time I began to catch up. Yeah, a little late. But the purpose of this email is to ask if you still had stickers. A smiley face. I know it was a while back, but just wondering if you do still have stickers. I would love some. Thank you. Sincerely, Sarah Catface.
Well, Sarah, thanks for your email. We do still have stickers, but I am a piece of lazy shit. I still owe stickers to other people.
Yeah.
I was at one point supposed to send stickers to Kevin Frost.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he would even still want them. I think after I wrote that diss rap that he paid for, maybe he stopped listening again. I don't know. But yeah, so I was sending out stickers and then I just kind of stopped. I think I owed stickers to a couple other people too from like over a year ago. So, yes, we do have stickers. If you send me your address, you might possibly get stickers 10 years from now.
No, it's very probable. I've changed my ways, Kyle.
Yeah?
I'm a little more aware.
Do you want me to give you the stickers and have people email you?
Yeah. And I'll get them out. Yep.
Okay. Well, then that sounds promising.
It does. Because where I work, when the end of the night would come, I'd punch out, and I'd go to get in line to mail the shit out. get like an envelope, get a stamp or two. And I'd always want it to be weighed, because if I throw a stamp on there and I throw like 20 stickers in there, I don't know if that's enough postage. So I'm like, can you please weigh it? And they're like, well, I don't know what I'm doing because I'm fucking stupid.
We were only supposed to be putting 5 stickers in there. That was the old deal. Yeah.
But lately I'd punch out, I'd go look at that line and it would just be 20 people long. And I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. But given that we're under construction where I work, out on the main road, business has been slow. There's nobody in line. And this is going to go on for months and months. So,
So it's a good time. Sticker sending.
Yes.
Time. Yeah, I
get up in there and get my shit.
I never have stamps. That was the main reason I wouldn't do it. And I don't think I can mail things out from here.
Yeah.
So I have to mail them out from work or find a mailbox somewhere or go to the store where you work and mail them out there.
Yep.
And I'm lazy. So it wasn't easy and I'm lazy. So I just wasn't doing it. But if you want to mail them out, sure.
Yeah, I can do that.
Send us your address, Sarah, and we might send you stickers. Sarah sent us another email. Dear Kyle and Orion, you got this one too, apparently. Yeah, I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
I was watching YouTube videos that were trending, and I saw one that maybe you'd like to talk about. Here's the link. Gay reporter kicked off Kremlin network after protesting anti-gay law.
I purposely did not watch this.
I haven't watched it either.
Of the show.
I hope you can get a good conversation about it. Keep up the great work, Catface. All right, let's see. I don't know. It doesn't seem promising to me.
James, and let me ask you the same position establishing question.
Yeah, Harvey Firestein, who's a very famous American playwright and actor, he said that being silent in the face of evil is something that we can't do. And so in
Harvey Firestein, I think is usually how I hear it said.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the guy that was in Independence Day and Mrs. Doubtfire?
The guy that talks like this. Oh, yeah, honey.
Yeah. There you go.
I think that's who he's talking about.
You know, being here on a Kremlin-funded propaganda network, I'm going to wear my gay pride suspenders and I'm going to speak out against the horrific anti-gay legislation that Vladimir Putin has signed into law that was passed unanimously by the Russian Duma that criminalizes homosexual propaganda, that effectively makes it illegal to talk about homosexuality in public. We've seen a spate of violent attacks on gay people
in
Russia.
Of course, we'll discuss it later, but what about Bradley Manning first?
I'm not really interested in talking about Bradley Manning. I'm interested in talking about the horrific environment of
homosexuality
right
now.
This is a Russian news network that he's on right now?
If it is, wow.
Why are they all British?
Yeah.
Okay.
And to let the Russian gay people know that they have friends and allies and solidarity from people all over the world, and that we're not going to be silent in the face of this horrific repression that is perpetrated by your paymasters, by Vladimir Putin.
Oh,
that's,
I see.
That's what I'm here to talk about.
All right.
He's mad.
And I don't know how, as a journalist, how you can go to sleep at night and seeing what happens to journalists in Russia who are routinely harassed, tortured, in some cases killed by the Russian government.
James, you have to come over. James, you have to come over here
and how you can go to sleep at night. I find that abominable. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Shut up.
Maybe she's Australian.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You should cover what's happening in Russia. You should cover the.
Why haven't they cut him off already?
And the verdict. We're waiting for the verdict.
James, you have 24 hours a day to lie about the United States and to ignore what's happening in Russia. You have 24 hours a day to do that. I'm going to take my 2 minutes and tell people the truth.
All right. Thank
That's
you very
fine,
much
James.
For that.
You have that right. Absolutely. Are you ready to have a conversation about Bradley Manning right now with the panel that we've assembled?
And where's he from?
RT has been Bradley Manning and Edward.
The Smith Irish.
24/7. I haven't seen anything.
Why is everyone?
Nobody's Russian.
Yeah.
James, we held violence and hostility towards gay people.
Who is this marketed towards in Russia?
Discussion. James, last Monday we held a panel discussion on the program about the laws. I think you'll find it very informative. You can find it on YouTube. It was hosted by Anissa Nawi. We had representatives from the LGBT community here.
Absolutely.
I think it's an issue we all take very seriously here on the channel.
Who can't say what they say on your net? They can't say, they can't make these comments on Russian television. Well, they can't write these things in Russian
news. Maybe that's why. So if a network were to broadcast any kind of debate over the issue, it wouldn't even be broadcasted.
That's why what?
That they have to turn to something in Europe somewhere, God knows where. I don't know.
But these
Washington
people were
Free Beacon.
But this is supposed to be them shutting him down because they're the Russian news. So it's not like I don't think I get your point. It's not like they're doing like secret underground Russian news in English with non-Russian reporters so that they can tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If they're, I don't know. It was fucking weird. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, sucks that gays can't be gays in Russia. And that was,
that's about all I got out of it. Other than that, that one guy's really mad. Yeah. Didn't understand. If you're going to go on one of those shows, you have to understand there's a panel and you get your turn to speak.
I mean, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He did what he wanted to do. He didn't expect them to go, ah, yes.
Yeah.
We would love to talk about how great gays are. He hijacked the thing on purpose. That was the point of it. But I don't know what to say about it. Somebody just tried to add me on Skype. There you go. Carlos, we are now Skype buddies. So those were our emails from Sarah. What else is
it? Step it up with the emails, goddammit. Anytime we get something where they're like, please, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this. There's never...
Well, I guess, I mean, I can
and
elaborate.
I feel bad.
But it's like all
old
news.
To
like,
elaborate.
Gays should be able to gay.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. I mean, even in the United States, they're not allowed to gay as much as they should be allowed to gay. Gays mm-hmm. should be allowed to gay. Let them gay.
There you go.
Let my people gay. But that's, I mean, that's all I got to say about it. Like, let them fuck dudes and chicks, whatever they want to do. Let them get married. I don't care what those gays get up to. Just let them do their gay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. Let them wear the rainbow suspenders on TV even.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Speaking of gays, I don't know if it's the dad in me, but I've grown more bored of the subtle gay, like, don't do that, that's gay. For example, God, what was the show? Ridiculousness? I was watching this on MTV, where they show stupid videos on the web and people getting hurt or doing stupid shit. And a clip came up with a guy putting a corn cob on a drill.
Okay.
And he puts it up to his mouth, whatever. And the whole time, the whole panel's like, because he puts it up to his mouth, he turns it on, he's eating the corn, it's going a million miles an hour. Oh, crazy, whatever. Then he's like moving his head to the side more towards the tip, and they're like, not the tip, bro, not the tip, bro, not the tip. Oh, and he puts the tip of the corn cob in his mouth like it's a dick, and it's, why would you do that? And it's not funny to me anymore. It's not funny.
Like, get it? Because it's gay. It's like a dick. And he put it in his mouth. And now he's gay. He's so gay. He's so gay. Oh, what a faggot.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Because that's for sure the reason they didn't want him to put the tip in his mouth?
Yeah. Not for... Because it's dangerous.
Well, no. I don't know. It seems pretty dangerous to me to even just try to eat corn that's spinning really, really fast in a drill. Like, I could see, you see bits of corn flying and some of those bits of corn are actually teeth.
Yeah. But it's come up before, like a guy lands in another guy's crotch. Oh, you know, big response because it's so gay.
Where was this happening?
On the show Ridiculousness on MTV.
Yeah, I mean, it is like, it's not.
It reminded me of there was this incident where, and I'll call it an incident because it kind of bugged me. But I was wearing my jeans and t-shirt outside. I got a little wet, so I rolled them up, and they look like capris. And Aldi's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's
you look so gay.
Yeah. Well, you did. And I can picture it. You did.
It wasn't funny. It wasn't anything. It was substanceless.
Walking around in capris is pretty funny.
It isn't. It isn't.
No, it is.
Because, like...
Oh, I'm picturing it.
You're gay.
No, nah, that's not why, like, it's funny.
You look gay. So what?
It's not funny because you look like a gay guy. It's funny because it's a ridiculous look on a man in general. I mean, if you want to get like...
I guess she approached it wrong.
Why would we make fun of what anybody looks like ever?
Yeah.
If you want to get really down to like...
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, what a mess you look like, Mimi from the Drew Carey Show, because you put on makeup that I wouldn't put on, and you're fat, and I don't like that. You know, why would we ever make fun of anything anybody ever does? I don't know. But you wearing capris is a funny image.
I'm not offended or anything. It's just, it's so old and dumb to me. Like, it's a big bro house where I work. The coworkers, like all the guys in the grocery department, you know, or it's like somewhat parallel to the army in some ways, you know. If the girls aren't around, you know, talking about I'm gonna fuck your mother and all that shit, and you're so gay, and you're so gay, and you're so gay, and that it can get funny, but that has lost all substance with me, and it's just boring. And I thought I'd bring it up because we were watching that video.
When the root of a gay joke is literally
nobody's
just
creative
like,
anymore.
Well, I mean, nobody was ever creative with gay jokes.
You could like, put an actual dick in my mouth, and it's not that funny. Would it be pretty funny? Kind of funny. Yeah, I bet it would. Yep.
This is coming from the guy who, like, you wanted to make a video or an animation or something that was just an asshole and then a tongue comes out of it. Yeah. Or you wanted to set gay porn to various songs that were incongruous.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, a dick in your mouth is kind of funny. Okay. Get over it.
All right. All right.
You wearing capris and sucking a dick. Okay. How is that not funny?
That is so not you. Get it? That is so not you. Get
any
it?
Any man. Look, I don't have a problem with gays. Gay dudes, do your gay stuff. Suck dicks. It's cool, man. But a dude sucking a dick, kind of funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, there's a lot of things I don't have a problem with that are kind of funny to me.
I get it. Yeah.
And if you're wearing capris while you do it, man, icing on the cake. Yeah, I hope you're wearing capris and Crocs.
Well, like I'll go to get the mail and I'll slip on her mom's Crocs. Ugh. That she has. I don't know where she got them. She might have stolen them from a neighbor way back in our apartment living days.
Okay.
I don't know. But her mom has these pink Crocs, and I run by the door. My shoes aren't there. I throw those on. I go to get the mail, and she yells out the door, "Faggot!" And it's
See, that's
not funny.
Funny. That is
it's
funny.
It's substance.
It's not. That is funny.
It would have been years ago.
No, it's funny. I think the problem you're having is that you think the reason it's funny is because gay people are wrong. That's not why it's funny. It's I feel weird explaining this to you, but you okay. But you putting on Crocs,
it's just so
and
old.
Walking outside and then all the yelling joke. Faggot yeah. is funny because like it's over the top, it's absurd like to yell faggot because you put on a pair
is
of
it
shoes
within the context of it being Aldi and Aldi's a sweet girl and well,
not,
her yelling
no,
faggot
no,
is funny.
Not that Aldi's a sweet girl, no. But I mean, yeah, kind of being a small girl yelling faggot in a foreign accent
yeah.
adds to the comedy. But just yelling faggot at a guy for wearing Crocs is kind of funny to me. Like any, like if you just saw a guy walking down the street wearing mm-hmm. Crocs and you yelled faggot, kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
Because it's such a like a non-issue wearing Crocs. Like I don't like Crocs. I think they look stupid. But I don't see a pair of Crocs and actually like hate you and assume things about your sexuality.
Yeah.
It's just so like, I don't.
I know,
man,
I know. I'm sorry.
I swear if it wasn't Aldi yelling it at you or one of the caveman bros that you work with in the grocery department at the grocery store yelling faggot because of Crocs, you would think it was funny.
Yeah.
But because it's you in the Crocs, because you've matured in your old age. You know, I've gotten to the point where...
It's just so old. She's called me faggot our whole relationship.
Yeah.
And it's old.
Well,
it's old.
You faggot up sometimes.
Oh, but to put things into perspective real quick and branch off real quick. The other day, this coworker who never showers before he shows up to work, Aldi makes fun of him because he stinks.
Okay.
Which is funny. But
oh, so that's funny.
A little bit. Not really.
Oh,
not
smelly really. People are funny, but gay people.
Well, it's the thing she says. Like, for example, this guy, he's like, I haven't showered in 2 days. So what? I'm at work. I don't give a fuck. And she's like, I haven't showered in 2 days. Would you like a taste? And
oh, that's hilarious.
And because it's now, like, first impressions of Aldi, you'll be like, she's a sweet little girl. And fuck, you hear that. This, some things come out of her mouth. And they're like, what? You know, put back.
So the faggot thing has just gotten old to you.
Yeah.
It's just old because Aldi said faggot a bunch of times already.
This was funny because of the reaction. Yeah. If you want to break it down. They're like, where is this coming from? Oh my God. That little girl said what? And that's it. And back to the show.
I think most situations where, like, I think in just about any situation that doesn't involve actual gay bashing, yelling faggot at someone is funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, just about anything. Like, if you were at the grocery store and somebody in front of you picked up a pack of gum and they were looking at the back of, looking at the ingredients on the bag,
yeah,
and you just went, faggot! Funny okay. to me.
Right.
If right. you're at the grocery store and somebody's checking melons for ripeness and you yell, faggot! It's funny to me. If you're at the post office and somebody's just mailing a thing and they're like, could you weigh this for me? And you yell, faggot! Okay. It's pretty much always funny to yell faggot.
Yeah.
Except if you're like beating a gay guy to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God,
that reminds me. Remember when we would, I have to imagine this happened more than once, so it's not a frequent thing we did, but occasionally we would holler things out the window driving around town because that's what we'd do back in high school.
Like when we were, okay, yeah.
Way back when. What do you want to do? I don't know. We'll drive around until we figure it out. So we're driving around and there's a big ghetto girl. And Kyle rolls the window down and goes, fat fuck!
Yeah, see, that's funny. And yelling faggot at girls would be funny, too.
Okay, all right, there we go.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. You should just call Aldi a faggot.
It's different, it's creative, no one does that. There we go. It's funny to me.
We're taking it back from the gays. The gays tried to reclaim the word queer.
There's a, like, a gorgeous girl on a, like a... big old skateboard. What do you call those? I'm so old.
Longboard? I don't
longboard,
know.
Yeah. Going down the sidewalk in short shorts, and you're like, fucking faggot!
Yeah, that's funny. or like, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but like, you're at a pool party, and you like walk up to a girl who's standing next to the pool, and you yell faggot and push her in. I don't know why that in particular sprung to mind, but yeah, I don't know, man. Faggot is just a funny word.
It
like
is.
I agree, like Aldi says it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I could agree that it gets old, and you live with Aldi, so it probably gets even older.
Very old.
And I try, like, occasionally the word faggot slips out and I'm like, that was a wrong time to say it. Not because like, it was offensive, but just because like, it just sounded clunky there.
Didn't
like
have that punch.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think I say it that often, and I think it's funny. I think it's just a funny sounding word. Mm-hmm. I think like the double G's, something about it.
Yeah.
It's just a funny word.
One word that's not really used a ton, but enough to where people have heard it before, I'm sure, that Aldi says, she calls, like when she gets really mad, she calls people, not faggots, faggots. She'll yell out faggot to make fun of you, but when she's mad, she'll call you a butthole. And it's just...
That's funny because it's like...
like, not an asshole.
Yeah, it's like she misunderstands the severe, like the hierarchy.
Yeah, we didn't get the week off, or we didn't get the day off we requested, and she's upset, and I'm like, you okay? Oh, he's just such a butthole.
Maybe because she's foreign, like... that word,
yeah, with the slight accent.
That word sounds harsher to her somehow. I don't know how she could live here for as many years as she has, though, and not understand that butthole is like the softest of vulgar insults.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's coming back, though, because it's so soft, nobody has used it, right?
It's like calling somebody a crap head.
Yeah, yeah. banana brain.
You crap face. Yeah, banana brain.
What does that even mean?
What a butthole.
That home video of me and my brother.
Well, when you guys...
We were fighting, play fighting, and he kicked me too hard, and yeah, we were like, you can't get mad. And I call him a banana brain. Like, sincerely, take that to yeah. the bank.
Well, you guys were a couple of sheltered and Christian cuties. So mad. You guys were just a couple of little angels. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever called somebody a banana brain.
Yeah.
God. banana brain.
Fucking retarded.
You got to bring it back.
Yeah.
Bames, you banana brain. Just wanted to call him a banana brain. let's see. What is this? I have this thing in my show notes. Been in my show notes for a couple of weeks. Let's figure out why I did that. Motherload. Adventures in parenting. Oh, it's an article about parenting.
Oh boy.
I do not want my daughter to be nice. In quotes. That's the headline. By Catherine Newman. My 10-year-old daughter, Birdie. Oof. We're off to a good start. My 10-year-old daughter, unique bitch, is not nice, not exactly. She is deeply kind, nice, profoundly compassionate, nice, and probably the most ethical person I know, nice. Mm-hmm. But she will not smile at you unless either she is genuinely glad to see you or you're telling her a joke that has something scatological for a punchline. So she's a normal person? Yes, like, what is...
Oh, no.
This makes her different from me. Sure, I spent the first half of the 90s wearing a thrifted suede jacket that I had accessorized with a neon green sticker across the back, expressing a somewhat negative attitude regarding the patriarchy.
Because everybody gets that.
Let's just say it's unprintable here. But even then, I smiled at everyone because I wanted everyone to like me. Everyone! Wow, what a weird old out of touch lady.
Holy shit.
You know, man. Back in my day, I was a bit of a ruffian. I wore a thrifted suede jacket that had a sticker on it. So you might say I was a bit of a punk. I am a radical card carrying feminist. Oof. And still, I put out smiles indiscriminately, hoping to please not only friends and family, but also my son's orthodontist, the barista who rolls his eyes when I fumble apologetically through my wallet, and the ex-boyfriend who cheated on me.
And smiling?
Yeah.
Cheers all. I smile at everybody. I'm exempt.
If I had all that energy back, all the hours and neurochemicals and facial musculature I have expended in my wanton pursuit of likedness,
wow.
I could propel myself to Mars and... No, you couldn't. Or at the very least, write the book Mars and Back, Gendered Constraints and Wasted Smiling. What is it?
Unbelievable.
This is... Man, like the whole social justice thing, feminists and all of the weird other... It goes on into everything... race-related social justice warriors, the really crazy ones with the other kin and all that stuff, trans stuff, LGBTQ stuff. They sometimes, I think, run out of shit to complain about, and then they just start fantasizing. Like, what a weird navel-gazing bullshit thing to write an article about. I smile at people. And God damn it, is it exhausting?
I could have written a book.
And meanwhile,
to Mars and back.
No one gives a shit. Yeah. Like if you went into Starbucks, made your order, and didn't smile at the barista, at the absolute worst, they'd be like, she must be having a bad day.
Absolute
like you actually
worst.
Have to be a bitch for people to consider you a bitch. Not just not smiling. Oh, she's tired. No biggie. No big thing. I worked in retail for a long time. If you came in and just didn't smile at me, I wouldn't be like, wow. Well, there's another one to add to my hate list. yeah. If I had all that wasted smiling time back, I could go to Mars. What a fucking lunatic.
But it is not one thing or another, of course. My mostly pleasant way might get me more freelance work. And friendliness tends to put people at ease. Loved ones, neighbors, waitresses, which is a good thing. Yeah, no shit. Plus, smiling probably makes me feel happier, according to all those studies about self-fulfilling emotional prophecies.
Oh, God.
I know that our sweethearted son, who is 13, has always had the experience of niceness being its own reward. What can I do to help? He asks. Please take mine, he insists, and smiles, and everyone says, oh, aren't you nice, and what a lovely young man. Or sometimes, because he kind of looks like a girl, what a lovely young lady. But if I can speak frankly here, you really don't worry about boys being too nice, do you? Most people don't worry about anyone being too nice. You don't really worry about boys being too nice, do you? He still has the power and privilege of masculinity on his side, so as far as I'm concerned, the nicer the better.
Oh my God.
Oh man. Here comes the
weird double standard bullshit logic. I don't want my daughter. She hasn't gotten into why she doesn't want her daughter to be nice yet, except that you can kind of infer that it's because it's exhausting. But I don't mind my son being nice because men are dicks and they rule the world and fuck them.
Yeah.
But my daughter, on the other hand, needs to fight for her right to be kind of cranky.
She's entitled to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Birdie is polite in a, can you please help me find my rain boots and thank you, I'd love another deviled egg kind of way? What weird examples. The examples she gave for her son were like, what can I do to help? Please, take mine. The example she gave for her daughter's politeness is, can you help me find my rain boots? And thank you, I'd love another deviled egg. What kind of life are you leading? This is like one of those phrase books for learning another language or like traveling to another country. Yeah. Like you see them in movies and stuff and they like always have a comically irrelevant phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have another deviled egg? When would I ever need to say this? But when strangers talk to her, she is like, whatever. She looks away scowling. She does not smile or encourage. There's a difference between not trying to be like trying to go over the top being a people pleaser and exhausting yourself by trying to keep up a facade all day and being kind of a cunt.
Big difference. Yeah.
Like if I come up to you and I say, hey, lovely weather we're having today, and you're not into it, that's cool. I get it. But if your response is to look away, scowl, and go, whatever. That's not you being a strong, independent woman.
No.
That's you being kind of a bitch. Like, I would call myself a dick if I did that to you. If you came up and said, man, how you doing? And I was like, fuck off.
Yes,
that's me being a dick. There's a huge difference. I could just not beam and not engage. Like, I really want to talk about the weather. I could just be like, yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's like this mom has read too many self-help books that start off chapter one, smile more, and here's an entire chapter about it, because it'll change your life.
Well, this is, I don't know if you're misunderstanding this, but what this article is about the mother being glad that her daughter is a bitch.
Yeah.
So the mother's not encouraging the smiling.
Yeah.
She's saying, thank God my daughter's a cunt.
It'll manipulate the situation. And that is where she's full of shit. Because I have plenty of friends. I don't smile at them ever. And they're never like, what a dick. Ever.
I do think it comes across like she's trying to like kind of live vicariously through her daughter. Like she feels like she's been a doormat her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
This author. I've just let people walk all over me. No more. But every time I say no more, I just find myself doing it again. God damn it. I wish I was stronger. I'm going to teach my daughter to never take anybody's shit, including when it's not really taking shit.
Yeah.
Just like being nice.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I bite my tongue so that I won't hiss at her to be nice. I tell you this confessionally because I do think it is a good idea for girls to engage with. Because I do think it is a good idea for girls to engage with zealously leering men, like the creepy guy in the hardware store who is telling her how pretty she is. Oh, okay, I read it wrong.
Because do I think it's a good idea for girls to engage with zealously leering men, like the creepy guy in the hardware store who is telling her how pretty she is? I do not. Say thank you to the nice man who wolf whistled. Smile at the frat boy who's date raping you. I want my daughter to be tough. See, again, you're making weird false equivalences here. There's a huge difference between somebody coming up and trying to engage you in potentially nonsensical, inane conversation, mm-hmm. and somebody date raping you or wolf whistling at you creepily in a hardware store. Which, yeah, by the way, feminists are the only people I ever hear talk about wolf whistling and catcalling. I don't think that those things never happen, but the way feminists talk about it, and they have to be full of shit because they're usually trolls, like not like internet trolls, but physical, like Lord of the Rings orcs. Anyway, like these are the most hideous women, like the embodiment of Crocs. And the salt and pepper hair cut real short like a high school lunch lady, mm-hmm. and just sagging wrinkled skin and like pedophile glasses with the nice iced tea tint and buck teeth, and they wear Crocs and all denim, and I'm being wolf whistled again. Again with the patriarchy. I can't step foot outside my house without fearing for my genitals. They'll be plundered in an instant by all these catcallers. You wouldn't believe it. The other day, I was taking a walk to the dog park, and a man across the street said, "Nice day we're having, isn't it?" And I knew. I read between the lines he meant, "Nice rack you've got there, honey baby." The gendered hatred in his voice was palpable. Fuck you. Like, I'm sure it does happen. Like, a hot girl walks by a construction site, straight up caricature of life. And a construction worker's like, "Ow!" One, he's kind of a douche. Two, completely fucking harmless. Three, I bet it doesn't happen anywhere near as often as they make it sound. Like, they seriously make it sound like a woman cannot go outside without someone looking at her ass and going, "Hey, baby, can I get your number?" And I guarantee you it doesn't happen that often. Mm-hmm. Not just like walking down the street.
No way.
Maybe in a bar or a club where like a lot of people are there. They're drinking. They're horny. Mm-hmm. They're looking to hook up. "Hey, baby, can I get your number?" But
not on the street. Yeah, everybody's on a mission. Nobody gives a fuck store, about anyone else.
You know, they act like anywhere you go, "I was shopping at the Rite Aid, and a man was looking right at my ass. I couldn't see it because I was facing the other direction, but I just knew."
Yes. Christ.
I don't know. Okay, where'd I leave off? So, say thank you to the nice man who wolf whistled. Smile at the frat boy who's date raping you. Oh, yeah, the wolf whistling thing, I get why it's tacky. Tactless, tasteless, whatever. Mm-hmm. I get that you don't care that this man finds you attractive and that, like, you don't want anything to do with him. Yeah. You don't want to pursue this. I get all of that. But it technically is just a compliment. Mm-hmm. It's like a kind of shittily worded or whistled compliment.
Yeah. And that's even like,
but
in
it
the
really
past,
is just a compliment.
Nobody does that anymore.
Even if you don't care about your appearance, if somebody sees you and goes, all it means is I find you attractive. What is so horrible about that? Mm-hmm. Like, even if what happened was, like, if I was walking down the street and a car slows down next to me, they roll their window down and they go, "I'd like to fuck you." And it's a dude, a huge dude. Now, I might be a little nervous because that's so weird. Like, is this guy going to, like, chloroform me, throw me in the back of that van and have his way with me? I don't know. But the act itself not that big a deal.
Yeah.
If he then drives away and I never see him again, well, life goes on. I don't really care that some giant dude wants to fuck me so long as he's not a rapist.
Yes.
You know, like, who cares? Like,
there's no follow through. Yeah, that's what you have to care about.
If we were all open and honest and made lists, publicly available lists, and everybody saw them of all the people we are sexually attracted to, everyone would be creeped out. Every single person on the planet would see, like, at least half of your list of people who want to fuck you, you'd be like, oh, God, how come none of these people are people I would also like to fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
And it'd be true for everybody. So, but it, like, so we're not allowed to say it because it would creep us out. But, but it's really not a thing, you know? Like, there are people I would like to have sex with, and if I told them that, they'd be creeped out. But I'm not going to rape them. So really, there's no need to be, like, to be creeped out. But whatever. I want my daughter to be tough, to say no, to waste exactly zero of her God-given energy on the sexual, emotional, and psychological demands of lame men. Of lame anybody's. I don't want to her to accommodate and please. I don't want her to wear her good nature like a gemstone, her body like an ornament. That's a, you went off on a weird tangent there at the end.
Wow.
Like, I don't see how being nice is the same as
she's
as
10.
Dressing up your body and objectifying yourself. And currently she's not in danger. She is decisive and no nonsense, preferring short hair and soft pants with elastic waistbands. I know some guys, the short hair thing, they can't do it.
Yeah.
They're like, no. Women look way better with long hair. I really don't care. As long as, like, your short hair isn't unattractive. Like, there are ways to do super short hair and it's fine. And if it was a girl I found really attractive, even bald, I would be fine with it. Yeah. I would think it was a little weird, but I would be fine with it. But, and so I do see how having short hair could be, more practical. Like, it just doesn't require as much upkeep. But I mean, she's decisive and no nonsense, preferring short hair and soft pants with elastic waistbands. I mean, I guess, but, like, that's further than dudes go. Like, well, I mean, they do the short hair, but soft pants with elastic waistbands, like, it sounds to me like she just gave up.
Yeah.
And she's like 10. She gave up on life. Like, you're just raising an unlikable person. Dresses get in her way, and don't even get her started on jeans. Like, you can't handle jeans. If you can't handle jeans,
Jesus,
that's not like some weird gender role that you have to wear jeans. Like, that's, at this point, it's not. But if anything, that's like bucking tradition in itself, you know, wearing jeans instead of dresses. She can't handle dresses or jeans. She just doesn't give a shit about anything. The snugly revealing allure of which completely mystifies her. You don't have to wear tight jeans. She's the kind of person who donates money to the Animal Welfare Institute. No, she doesn't. She's 10. And you donate money to the Animal Welfare exactly. Institute. And attends assiduously to all the materials they send her, including their dully depressing annual reports, which she sounds like a real blast, which she keeps in a special folder. Gender stereotypes, among other injustices, infuriate her. This is so stupid, she sighs at Target about the pink rows of dolls and the blue rows of Legos. Why don't they just put a penis or a vagina on every toy so you can be completely sure you're getting the right one? Because, oh my God. What a weird fucking... This did not come out of this kid's head. It didn't. The mom put this in the kid's head. Yes. The dolls are mostly marketed to girls, and they're pink because of gender roles and all of that. But why don't they have a penis and a vagina on there? Beyond the obvious puritanical bullshit about, like, if you put a penis and vagina on there, parents would be outraged because it's vulgar or whatever. Beyond that, like, they could just say, for boys and not girls. For girls and not boys. The reason they don't do that is because the companies, A, don't care who buys it. They just want you to buy it. If a boy wants to buy a Barbie, the company isn't like, faggot. They're like, great, more boys should buy Barbies. That would be awesome. If we thought it was a viable market, we would market our Barbies to boys.
Exactly.
And the The reason they don't do that is because there is no actual rule. You can buy Legos if you're a girl. You can buy Barbies if you're a boy. It's not a law. It's just like that's kind of our general societal preference. If you don't
at this point in time, yeah.
If you like, you're not being arrested for your soft pants with elastic waistbands. Nobody cares except that they think you look kind of dumpy, and you know, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
She is tender, fierce, and passionate. The kind of person who can stroke our pussycat with gentle... Who calls it a pussycat? The kind of person who can stroke our pussycat with gentle fingers while she growls at you. Her eyebrows a menacing shelf. About bedtime and her plans to avoid it. Even as a 2-year-old, she had the determined wrath and gait of a murderous zombie gnome. Are you doing drugs as you write this article? I don't even know what that means. The determined wrath and gait of a murderous zombie gnome.
I have no idea what
that
means.
So when she was 2, she would shuffle around the house going and looking murderous. And I don't know what makes her look like a gnome, just because she's little. And my husband and I grimaced at each other, afraid over her small and darkly glowering head. She will lift knife and fork, sighing, only if I scold her about eating with all 10 fingers like a caveman, and I have mixed feelings about that. This mom sounds like the biggest pushover. Like, she basically admits in the beginning that she's the biggest pushover. Like, she's basically complaining, like I said, about being a doormat, and everybody walks all over her because she's too nice. And she does the same thing with her daughter, only she feels like she's spinning it in her own head, like she's doing the right thing. My daughter won't eat with a knife and fork unless I really poke at her. And I don't know how I feel about that. But I'm real proud of her for being a bitch. She's very moral, a friend said recently. And it was not a compliment. She is a kid who can be a pain in the neck at a play date, insisting on the rigors of turn-taking, of fair sharing, of tidying up before the guests vamoose and leave her with an afternoon of mess to deal with. That said, though, she's got your back. She is a patron saint of babies and animals, of the excluded or teased. That's not right, she's not afraid to say. Stop it. Yeah, oh man. I wish more people weren't afraid to say, that's not right, stop it. Those are my favorite words to hear. Stop having fun. Mm-hmm. Stop enjoying yourself.
Stop thinking the way I don't think.
Yeah.
And get rid
of
yourself.
Stop liking things I don't like. Yeah.
God.
She is a beautiful kid, but she is also sure and determined in a way that is not exactly pretty, which is fine, because God help me if that girl ends up smiling through her entire life as if she is waitressing or pole dancing or apologizing for... Oh, man. The fact that you feel so put upon because you feel compelled to smile at people is just ridiculous. Like, every time I go to the bank, I feel like I have to smile at the teller.
You owe it.
I might as well be selling my body. God, get over it. Or apologizing for some vague but enormous infraction, like the very fact of her own existence. Another weird, like, who makes women apologize for existing?
Nobody.
I picture her at the prom in stripy cotton pajamas, eating potato chips with both hands, like a slovenly pig. I'm going to go to the prom. Why? You hate the prom. Just because I want to be there and show everyone how much better than them I am?
Yeah.
Hand over the potatoes. I'm going to go frump the place up. I picture her slapping a patriarch damning sticker on her jacket, like mother like daughter. I picture her running the country saving... Okay, I guarantee you that's not going to happen. I picture her running the country, saving the world, being exactly the kind of good, bad girl that she knows herself to be. My prediction for this girl, she'll have a blog.
Mm-hmm.
The end. That's it. No one will like her except for a handful of other frumpy bitches. She will have a blog, or whatever the equivalent of a blog is 10 to 20 years from now. That's it. She ain't going to be no Obama. She's not going to save the world. She maybe, if she's really ambitious, she can be the Coney guy. Not Coney, but the other guy who like did drugs and masturbated in public or whatever. Like, he freaked out. Maybe she'll be that guy, but a girl. You go, I think. Fly! I think take me with you. So this is just her regretting her life. Like,
yeah.
I'm so weak. I hope my daughter will be a badass.
Yeah.
And in order to facilitate that, I'm just going to let her do whatever she wants. That's the deal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to teach her to be really judgmental and kind of a bitch to other people.
She almost wants to make everyone aware that when someone smiles at you, you should appreciate it because they, like, they've exhausted themselves some degree.
It's not and that.
Put forth some effort.
I get it, kind of. I hate having to be around people and be kind of fake. I hate having to make small talk and stuff. But it's not like, oh, Jesus, I can't believe I got to smile at this person.
Yeah.
And if only I could go back 10 years and make up for all that smiling I did by not smiling at anybody, my life would be so much better. Like, no, pretty much any time I've had to do that kind of stuff, it was the right thing for me to do at the time. It made my life better that I did it. It would have been worse if I didn't. It was the right thing to do. If anything, I could probably benefit from doing more of that kind of stuff. But no, nope, nope.
Mm-hmm.
That makes her weak. Let's see what's going on in the chizette. I think it'd be funnier if she called the smelly guy a faggot. Wow, way to insult me, Kyle. This is from a while ago, I guess. That was Bames. Wow, way to insult me, Kyle. I think I called him a banana brain. I'm crying. These people have a certain way of writing that really angers me. It's got to be all that rambling they love. Zach says, ha ha ha, why don't feminists ever bitch about lesbians looking at their tits? Women have lips they can catcall to. Bame says, also my daughter is 290 pounds. then somebody named Sem or Kem, CEM235 says, must be all the salad. Then Bame says, I fucking hate this woman, she can't write. Oh, so there are 8 people in the chat now. Yay. Mm. So, before the show, I took a quick glance at Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And the top submission on Reddit at the time was a video. It's titled McNugget Rampage Security Cam. I have not watched it. I don't know if it's any good.
Sounds good.
But let's check it out.
All right.
Let's see how this goes. Okay.
It's a drive-thru window.
I thought there was audio, but...
Oh, no.
You know what? Let's take a tiny mini break so I can make sure that the audio works.
All right.
All right, we'll be right back. Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, normally when something fucks up with our audio, it's the FireWire interface thingy going robot and everything gets all distorted. This time, it just wasn't playing sounds. The recording was still going all right, though. So we're back, and we're going to play this video. Maybe I should post the link to the video in the chat, just so people can see it. Okay. McNugget Rampage Security Cam.
Holy shit! Let's just make a McNugget.
Hey, I need you to calm down. It's 10:30 a.m. We don't serve chicken McNuggets at this time.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Why not?
Because we do.
You know what?
Did you just hiss at me?
Hold on, I'm just fucking hissing you.
Hey, just give me that out of the car. What's going on over there?
Don't you fucking run away from me, you family.
Okay. Okay. I got to start this over. Okay. So what we're seeing is security footage from inside the McDonald's, and you can see the car outside. There's somebody working the drive-thru, somebody in the car talking to the person working the drive-thru. Okay, so the person is in the car is really mad that they're not serving McNuggets right now.
At 10:30.
At 10:30 in the morning.
When they're normally serving breakfast.
And they're like way more mad than I could ever imagine being over McNuggets.
Don't tell me shit.
Unless you're speaking McNuggets into my hands, I don't want to hear it.
I need you to calm down.
It's 10:30 a.m. We don't serve chicken McNuggets at this time.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Why not?
Because we do.
You know
what? Did you? Okay, yeah. Did you? Did you just hiss at me? That was the.
I'll do more than just fucking hiss at you. She says.
More than just fucking hiss at you.
Hey, can you just give me that out of the car. What's going on over there?
Don't you fucking run away from me, you fat meatbag.
Don't you fucking run away from me, you fat meatbag. I will fucking end you. The woman got out of her car. She's walked up to the window, and she's trying to hit the server through the window.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form, I will fuck you up!
Don't make me assume my ultimate form.
Ultimate form, I will fuck you up! Just wait, I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna wreck you!
I'm gonna come in there and I'm gonna wreck you.
Whoa.
Okay, yeah, so she's trying to climb in the window. She's swinging her fist. I'm going to fucking wreck you. Don't make me assume my ultimate form. and the server's like fighting with her and like yelling back at her and stuff. And they're having like this violent fight. And there's a manager in the background, I assume. Looks like a black man. And you could hear him earlier. He said like, what's going on over there? Mm-hmm. And now he's finally coming up and he's like, real. Whoa. Okay, hold up. I see tempers a-flaring. You know, we see this shit all the time. Let's just calm down and talk about this rationally. Don't make me assume my ultimate form. Do you know who I am? She says.
What?
What's that shit?
The black guy had enough. He was like, I'm gonna try to settle things. Nope, never mind. Bitch is crazy. Close that shit.
They're fighting to close it.
Yeah.
Put her hands in the way.
Yeah. I'm gonna eat your fucking face and I'm going to digest it and shit it out into the gutter.
Oh my god. What the fuck is this bitch?
Now, she's trying to break the window.
This manager totally flipped a 180.
Yeah. I will go Super Saiyan, she says.
Should I get burned by her apple pie or something?
Dude, I have no idea. We need to call the police. This is out of control.
Oh, Jesus! She broke the window. And now she sped away.
And the car pulls up. Finally, my order.
Holy shit. That was way better than Stone Cold E.T. Mm-hmm. Now that was a prank! Yeah. You got pranked, bitch! God. How great would it be if that was a prank? ExtremePranks.com.
Yeah.
World Star Hip Hop! Don't make me assume my ultimate form. I will go Super Saiyan on you. I will eat your face and digest it and shit it into the gutter. Bitch has some good insults.
Man.
Good threats. She's great. I want more of her. I want her to be third chair on the show. Third co-host. Oh. Man. You know what?
Yeah.
I am feeling a little off tonight. I feel like I say that more often than I should.
Yeah.
It was one of those weeks where I got distracted working on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
it sounds like it, yeah.
But I don't want to talk about the stuff I was working on.
Because mm-hmm.
chances are, even if I don't talk about it, you probably never see it. But if I do talk about it, you definitely won't ever see it.
These kids will never understand.
I was working on a thing.
Yeah.
And I spent most of my time thinking about that this week. And so, like, nothing really occurred to me to talk about. It's my own damn fault. But so I felt kind of off tonight because what I really wanted to do was work on that thing
mm-hmm.
instead of doing the show, which is shitty. And there was something else I was going to say instead of just ending it with that was kind of shitty. But yeah, so I feel a little off tonight. And I feel like the show hasn't been that great. And I kind of think I might be ready to end it right. here. I should right. mention that, guess what? You probably noticed, don't have a song for you this week.
Yeah.
I did work on one, but it's not done.
Are you feeling good about it? Which one are you working on?
Can
you
spoil that? I'm feeling better about it than I did about the Chrono Trigger song. Yeah. I'm working on the Don Shule one because he was next.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm working on it.
The Chrono Trigger song. You were stumped on a lyric entered my head, and don't use this, but I had like a rap parody in my head on the way here.
Okay. I would love to hear it.
In the
10
minutes I was driving. The only line that came to mind was like, and it's dumb, but Chrono Trigger, that game is my nigga.
Wow. Is that a joke? you fucking lyrical genius. You rhymed trigger with nigga? Wow.
Cut that part out.
You know, that's the thing. Edit. That's exactly what I was. I was stumped. I couldn't come up with anything. And that's what I needed. I'm going to write that song right now.
Right.
We'll be right
now.
Back.
We'll be right back.
I'm sorry.
That's what I needed. That's what I was missing. I didn't even. Oh, man. Trigger rhymes with nigger. What was I thinking? You know, man, I'll do you one better. Chrono Trigger, Homo Nigger. That'll be the whole song. Chrono Trigger, Homo Nigger. Chrono Trigger, Homo Nigger. Chrono Trigger is a Homo Nigger. Peace.
Yep.
It's a short song. God damn it. Look, you don't have to use this, but I just throwing it out there. I was thinking about this, and I think maybe it could help you out. Chrono Trigger? My nigga.
It's terrible. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry.
Oh, I apologize.
And with that, we'll end the show. Going out on a high note.
Shut it down.
Yeah, well, as usual, you can email me at kyle.ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
Or you can email me at orion@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
You can check out the Facebook, ijusthadaterriblethought.com/dorks. I fucked that up. Fleenus is calling. Fleenus, all right, I'll answer it. Fuck it, let's see what happens. Nope, I missed it. He hung up already. He hung up. I'm calling him back. Fuck him. Here we go. Calling. Fleenus!
Hello.
What's your deal, nigga?
Can I tell you about the scout camp? It was the coolest thing.
All right, it better be.
Okay, basically, it was a thing called comp camp, where you get...
Computer camp? No,
comp camp, competition camp.
Oh, wow.
Computer camp would have been cooler.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so basically, you get points and stuff based on how well you do things, like how clean your kitchen is, how well set up the tents are, all that sort of stuff. You get points for that.
Uh-huh. Did you win?
We came second.
Oh, man.
And only by, like, a few points.
Life's rough. Yeah, how do you feel? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. The troop that that I'm a part of has never came first.
You guys are the underdogs. I'm rooting for you.
And this is the first time we've come first. Second in like since 2009.
Moving on up.
Whoa!
So that was the thing.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is there was a theme.
It was cannibal rapists.
What?
Was the theme cannibal rapists?
No, but it should have been.
Okay, what was the theme?
Superheroes. So like tons of people going as name stuff, except we made up our own.
Like, what was yours?
Fleenus 2.
Look out! What, is it a bird? Is it a plane?
What is what is Fleenus 2 the superhero? Is it just a plush penis?
You never know who I am.
With flamingo feathers.
What is Fleenus 2 the superhero?
A guy who sits on his ass and plays games all day.
No, what
that's
is
not,
it?
That's not it.
That's his superpower.
No, what is it? What did you tell other people was Fleenus 2's superpower?
Exactly that.
You did not.
Did you finger anybody?
Yeah, investigative journalism, Orion. Fleenus? I'll remind you, you're under oath.
What the fuck? No.
Nope, didn't finger any, not even like a...
Okay.
Not even in like a platonic friendly way.
No, that would be creepy.
Was this an all boys camp?
No.
Was your sister there?
No, because she is too old to be in the same troop.
She's back from the UK though, right?
Yeah, she is. So yeah. She's going to start helping me work on my goddamn itchat game.
That's a euphemism if I've ever heard one. Is that what you tell your parents you're doing?
God damn it.
When you close the door?
The computer with RPG Maker is in the main room.
I don't know how to decode that one, but it sounded dirty.
Well, Fleenus, if that's the end of the scout story, I think I'm going to end this episode.
Yeah, I'll call back during the after show and give the full story.
All right. I can't wait. Later.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, you can email us. You can go to the Facebook, facebook.com/idchat. Twitter, twitter.com/idchat. You can go to the forums. I just had a terrible thought.com/forum. You can donate. There's a big old donate button. You can get a shirt. Idchat.spreadshirt.com. Am I forgetting anything?
That should do it. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll check you next week.
Word.